Amen. Well, that was a great presentation. Well done. And if you have any love for God and love for souls and the Great Commission in you, you did not watch that without feeling a burden for those dear folks. And we need to help, don't you think? Okay? Do we need to help? What do we need to do, Brother Lemon? Make a motion that we support him. And you're seconding that motion, Brother Ben? All in favor, would you let it be known by lifting your hand? Any opposed, by the same sign? And the rule is, if anybody opposes, we begin to pray that God calls them also. But there was no opposition. Brother Huckabee, see the young lady right back here? Thank you for pointing to her. You just raised your hand. See her and give her the information where to send support and so forth. All right, if you'll give me 15 minutes or less, 15 minutes or less, you're skeptical. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin to read in verse number 18. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." And then notice this statement: "So they are without excuse." So they are without excuse. Man is born. God created in man to believe that there is a divine being. Man is born with a hunger to worship. But the knowledge of God is not the knowledge of salvation or the knowledge of the New Testament. To know there is a God does not mean that you're saved. Lydia was at the riverside with a group of ladies and they were going to pray. And she believed in God, but she wasn't saved. And didn't get saved until she heard the gospel as preached by Paul. And God opened her heart. She was saved and baptized. And then her household heard the gospel and were saved and baptized. But I want you to notice that statement, "so that they are without excuse." Now, it is the nature of fallen man to make excuse, to blame others. When I was a boy growing up in East Texas, we used to call it passing the buck. I want to speak to you for just a few moments on that subject, blaming others or passing the buck. He said, in reference to men and women everywhere concerning their relationship with God, they're without excuse. The Ugandan people are without excuse. The Indians on those tribes, in those tribal lands in Brazil, are without excuse. They need us, the Savior. They need someone with the Word of God to tell them the truth. And I wonder, when they stand before God, what excuses they'll make before those without Christ are cast into the lake of fire. I kind of imagine it's the same excuses we make. We're good at it, aren't we? It's a part of the sinful nature of man, making excuses. So tonight, for just a few moments, I want to talk about blaming others for our sin or passing the buck. Father, help me tonight to say those things you've given me as I sat down yesterday evening and jotted them down for the service tonight. Help us to learn and grow until we come to that place that we stop making excuses, but we learn to accept personal responsibility. We'll have to one day when we stand before God. And it sure would be good if we'd learn that now in this life so we can be right and do right and serve you in the will of God here. Now, Lord, bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you noticed it's hard to find anyone today that admits being wrong or doing wrong? If someone does admit wrong, they most often recognize it as a mistake, not a sin. Very seldom will you find a criminal today that will admit that he's guilty. He always passes the buck, or she always passes the buck to someone else. And there's some areas in our life also that we as Christians become very proficient at blaming others, passing the buck. But when we sin, we're without excuse. We need to learn to stand up and face truth in order that it might be dealt with. So I want to say, first of all, we try to hide our guilt of sin by blaming others. It's becoming more difficult to find Christians who will admit that they have sinned when they do sin. Like Adam in Genesis 3:12, we're quick to point the finger of guilt at someone else. And by the way, we got that from Adam. It was a part of his fallen nature. It didn't take him long after his sin to begin to make excuse, but he was without excuse. In Genesis 3:12, Adam said, when asked by the Lord, "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." He pointed his finger at his wife and blamed her. But that's not all. He blamed God. He said, "After all, you gave her to me, I wouldn't be in this mess." He passed the buck. He blamed others. Though we're saved, we still have that old fallen nature in us. And just as Adam, we're quick to blame others for our fate or for the situation we're in. We pass the buck to someone else. Blaming others for our sin is just another trick of the devil that's as old as man itself. Started with Adam. As long as Satan can get mankind to think he's really good by blaming others, that man will never get right. He'll never have a right relationship with God as long as man or woman or boy or girl blames others for their sin. We're quick to pass the buck. Adam blamed Eve and God for his sin. Aaron, remember Aaron in the Old Testament? Moses up on the mount, they came to Aaron and said, "We don't know what's happened to this Moses. We want a God we can worship. Make us a God." And Aaron said, "Give me your gold." And they broke out their earrings and necklaces. And by the way, that wasn't just the women. That was a bunch of rebel rousing, backslidden men too. Necklaces and earrings. And they gave them to Aaron. And Aaron made the golden calf. But listen to what Aaron did. Aaron tried to blame the people and mere chance for yielding to the temptation of making the golden calf. Listen to the word of God. "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not thine anger, the anger of the Lord, wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up and out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I just cast it in the fire. There came out this calf. His blaming chance. It was an accident. The people gave me the go. Boy, we're good at it, aren't we? Some of you teachers could tell us the same kind of stories the kids tell you, blaming others for their wrong. Great Christians never try to blame others. They don't pass the buck. They admit their guilt by crying out to God, I have sinned. But may I say, that's not always so with saints or sinners. So many times, saints and sinners try to blame others. But there'll come a time when we'll face God and say, I've sinned. And sometimes God has to put a man or a woman through a lot of different things before they come to face reality. Pharaoh said, I've sinned. Pharaoh, the one who hardened his heart against God, the one who withstood 10 plagues, and finally, when the death angel passed through and his baby died, he said, I've sinned. What's it going to take to get you to face sin in your heart or your life? Don't pass the buck. Face truth. Then we have opportunity to get it behind us and get right with God. Achan cried out, finally, after 36 men died and they lost the battle at Ai, I have sinned. King Saul said, after the kingdom was taken from him by the Lord, I have sinned. And then he blamed the people and said, when he heard their voice, I feared them. David said to Nathan the prophet, after his sin with Bathsheba, I have sinned. And yet, before he said, I have sinned, he paid a terrible price before his heart was softened. In fact, 5 different times in David's life, he said, I have sinned. And that's not even counting the times in the Psalms that he said it. By the way, you better learn those words. Because though we are sinners, we are saved, we at best are sinners saved by grace. And we're going to have a battle with sin every day of our life, and we're not always going to be victorious. But instead of blaming someone else for it, the right thing to do is to face reality and say, I have sinned. And then we can have a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But never as long as we blame others. Job cried out twice, I have sinned. Twice the prodigal said, I have sinned. Certainly you haven't blamed others for sin you've committed, have you? Our sins are just as inexcusable as what he's speaking about here, without excuse. There's no need to blame others. We need to come to the place where we say, it's me, O Lord. And he already knows it's us. He already sees it. And then, not only do we pass the buck in blaming others for our sin, we try to pass the buck and blame others for our not fulfilling the responsibility of Christian service in our church. We try to blame others for the reason why we're no longer serving or we've never served. And by I say, it's the will of God that every Christian get busy serving Him somewhere in the ministry of their church. We avoid working in the Sunday school or the bus ministry by saying, God had not called me. When we say that, we're kind of blaming God for our idleness. Have you ever thought about volunteering? Now, I believe God calls into the ministry. But have you ever thought about volunteering to be a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker? Volunteer and see if God will refuse you. The Lord revealed a need and asked the question in Isaiah. Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And then he said, here am I, Lord, send me. He volunteered. And you know, the Lord accepted him and made one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, in the Old Testament, out of Isaiah. We avoid our responsibility to be witnesses and soul winners by saying that God hasn't called us. You know, that's an offhanded way again of blaming God for our not obeying his command to be witnesses, to carry out the Great Commission. Others say that it's the preacher and staff's job. But God never said that. God told every one of us who are saved, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Still others tried to use the excuse, I don't know how. Well, learn. Learn. I didn't know how to walk when I was born, but I learned. I learned by trying and trying and trying and trying and trying again. I didn't know how to ride a bicycle when I got one. I was 13 years old before I got a bicycle. Got it on my 13th birthday as my birthday present from Daddy and Mama. It was a used bicycle. It was blue. Had a horn on it. They bought a battery for it. It was newly painted, but it was scratched up before I learned to ride it. But I learned. You know, I didn't know how to kiss my wife. But I learned that. Yeah. And may I say to you, we can learn how to be a witness too. I remember when I learned, I sat down in front of a mirror and I wrote it out and I'd read it to my image in the mirror, practicing. Every time I talked to him, he was already saved. But I learned. I learned. Quit making excuses. Quit passing the buck to say it's somebody else's responsibility. If you're saved, it's your responsibility to be a witness. Learn. We like to make excuses and blame others when our area of ministry is not growing. We blame it on the economy. We blame it on all the different entertainment places and fun places. But you ever stop to think it may be you? It may be a bad spirit. It may be your lack of love for those you minister to. It may be you never visit them or pray for them. Your ministry may not be growing because your first love is no longer the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quit making excuses and just accept the blame for our failures. Stop passing the buck. We're quick to blame others for our unfaithfulness to God and His church. Now, there's a real difference between an excuse and a reason. Vance Havner said an excuse is nothing but a lie dressed up in the skin of a truth. I've heard this. When my baby was running fever, so mother and daddy and the five older children all had to stay home and take care of the baby. Now, there's both a reason and an excuse in that statement. Mama and baby had an excuse to stay home. Daddy and the five other kids didn't. They had a reason to stay home. Daddy and five other kids made an excuse. But they were blaming it on the baby. I don't know what I'll do if I have someone say, Preacher, I didn't come because I'm backslidden and out of the will of God. Oh my, wouldn't that be wonderful? I guarantee you, the person like that is far closer to getting right with God than the one that keeps on making excuses. Another one I hear regularly is a preacher, we couldn't make it because I had to work. Now, I haven't been a preacher all my life. I worked in the secular world also. And I found out that most of the time I worked, on the weekend I didn't have to. But I worked because I could get time and a half for Saturday and double time for Sunday. And the money was more important than God at that time in my life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd get to the place where we'd be honest and say, I didn't come. I worked. I love the money more than I love God. A person that does that is closer to getting right than a person that keeps making excuses. Then we make excuses and blame others for our not tithing and giving to missions. Well, I cannot tithe because I can't afford to. I've heard that. Well, my answer right away is, why can't you afford to? Well, I've had them tell me, well, I just can't afford to. When they make that excuse, they're saying that all of God's promises connected with tithing and giving are not true. That God certainly must be a liar. You know, most of the time our financial situation can be traced back to our own foolish decisions. I don't make enough money to support my family because I made a dumb decision and dropped out of school. So I can't get a better paying job. But it was a dumb decision. Or I can't tithe because I made some foolish mistakes. I made so many debts, I can't pay for the monthly payments on them. I've had them tell me, I can't tithe because I've got too many debts. God didn't make the debt. We made the decisions that led us to the place we're in, the mess we're in. The truth is, we don't tithe because we're just as greedy and covetous as Sapphira and Ananias was in Acts chapter 5. Tithing and giving doesn't take it away from our finances, it increases them. If you believe Malachi chapter 3, God said He'd bless them. He'd pour you out blessings from heaven, so Lord, you don't have room to receive them. Malachi 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And that's talking about the place you live, what you eat, what you wear. Put God first, even in your pocketbook. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. The same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And just a simple Texas translation is, God said, you give to me, I'll use the same measure that you give to me and give back to you, except it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that, my friend, is a formula which means we always get from God more than we give to Him. I'm simply saying to you, let's quit making excuses. We're without excuse. We just need to be honest about our own heart and our own life. It's a wonderful thing when we say, Lord, it's me. It's me. I was preaching a meeting in Georgia, Sand Mountain, Georgia, up in the hills. And people came to that old tabernacle, outside Brush Arbor Tabernacle. Had a man come forward one night. He said, preacher, I'm praying. I need you to pray with me because we're having all kinds of problems down at the church. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, it's me. I'm not right with God. I thought, my soul, he's honest. He's got an opportunity to get right. I just want to say to you, we'd be so much happier and so blessed if we'd just quit blaming others and making excuses. We can't be forgiven until we admit the truth about our sin. We can't have God's blessings as long as we're passing the buck and blaming others. We can't grow in grace and wisdom until we accept responsibility for our actions. We'll never be used of God and live in the power of the Holy Spirit until we learn to say those three words, Lord, I have sinned. It's me. However, when we learn to accept responsibility and cry out to God, He'll forgive us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we learn to accept responsibility and cry out to God, He will forgive us, He will use us, and He will begin to bless us. What a difference it makes when we stop making excuses and blaming others and passing the buck and just accept responsibility and say, God, I want to be right. I want to do right. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to try to lie to others and you anymore. I'm the one. Father, would you please help us to learn